Well, if you've got your Bible, go ahead and get it ready, because we're going to be going into the book of Titus. Ooh. The book of Titus. I know, kind of a little bit different, right?
Yeah.
A little bit different. Not a regular book we go to, but it is in the New Testament, and I believe that God has some things to say to us. Amen. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. God, I thank you that your word has the power to change us, to transform the way we think, the way we act, the way we speak. God, that only you can do that by your Holy Spirit. But Father, I thank you that as we cooperate with you, you are able to transform our lives and help us in areas we need help. Thank you, Father God, for helping us to get unstuck if we're stuck in an area. And Lord, that you would use me as I preach today, as I teach, Lord, that you would be glorified. And we thank you for our time in the Word together. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, last week I began a new series, Christmas at the Movies. And so, the main point of the Charlie Brown movie, connecting our faith to some of our favorite Christmas movies, was the incarnation. That was literally the purpose, if you will. Charles Schulz wanted to actually infuse the story and the real reason for Christmas way back in 1965, I think I said it was last week, 1964, 65, just around the time that I was born. And that was his purpose, was to infuse the real meaning of Christmas. And so when they read the story of the shepherds, and Linus recites that, that was the story of the incarnation. So last week we talked about the importance of the incarnation to our faith. Why is it so important that God became a man? That Jesus was born 100% God, 100% man, and that was the reason is so that he could come and pay the price for our sins. He lived a sinless life, sacrificed himself, and make no mistake, you've heard me say it before, it wasn't nails that held him to the cross. It was his love for us that held him to the cross. And then God just miraculously raised him from the dead. Hallelujah. And we have an empty grave to prove it. So last week, that's how I began this series called Christmas at the Movies. Now today, I want to talk to you about a movie. I'm going to see if you can guess which one it might be. All right, so this particular movie is not just a movie, but it has been around, the story that has been told for many, many years. In fact, the story goes all the way back, and the storyline that has been used in movies, cartoons, sitcoms, etc., is a story that goes all the way back to 1843. And it's a story about Christmas. And a famous author actually penned a novel, and that particular novel has had such great influence on Christmas culture, if you will, that sometimes people can kind of recite or at least give you the synopsis of this particular story, regardless of whether Scrooge McDuck is playing the part or Mickey Mouse. So does anybody have an idea what I'm referring to? Can I go ahead? Shout it off. Go ahead. A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens. A Christmas Carol. It has been transformed into modern plays, etc., etc. I'm showing my age, but I remember the first time I saw it, I must have been a little kid, and I saw the black and white version. That was a scary version. Just saying, especially when, you know, the ghost of Christmas past would come and they just made it just so, like, it just felt like I was watching a scary show. I remember I was a little kid, I was like, the ghost of Christmas past, right? And then there was the ghost of Christmas present, and then there was the ghost of Christmas future. And we hear in this story, this is one of Charles Dickens' best known works. It is considered to be a classic in the world of English literature. I mean, for goodness sakes, even the Muppets made a version of this. Okay, so it is It has stood the test of time. Now, I want to just put a little disclaimer here. I don't necessarily think Charles Dickens was trying to teach us a proper theological lesson. We don't get to come back and haunt people. Okay? Anybody, you can say amen to that, right? All right? We don't get to come back and haunt people, we, you know, that sort of thing. But the truths that he was trying to get across, I believe we can apply them to our faith. So you're there in Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3, I'm going to pick up in verse 3. Titus chapter 3, in verse 3. And it says, "For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another." Doesn't that kind of describe the main character, Scrooge? That was kind of where he lived. It is where he lived. But you know what? The word kind of puts an equal playing field here for all of us. And just when you think, well, I'm no Scrooge, let's just think about what this verse says. It says, "We ourselves." That means everybody was at some point in this classification, right? We ourselves, we were once foolish. Anybody in here ever been foolish?
Yeah.
You ever made a foolish decision that you regret it, right? And so today I want to talk a little bit about what I believe God wants us to get out of this particular passage of Scripture, and connecting it to Christmas at the Movies, connecting it to the story of A Christmas Carol. We all know the basic story. Ebenezer Scrooge is a miserly, angry, bitter old man who doesn't want to celebrate Christmas at all. He doesn't care about people. He doesn't care about anything but himself. And if you want to, you know, put the word narcissist on that label, you could, because he was living only for himself. But at some point, he realizes that that's an empty life. That's an empty life. At some point, for each one of us who've made Jesus our Lord and who got born again, we realize there came a point where we came to the end of ourselves. And nothing else really mattered, because we were miserable. We were lost. Colossians says that we were lost without hope and without God. That's a dark place to be in. Lost without hope, without God. Can you imagine? Without hope. Without hope. And when I look at this verse, I say, thank God that we didn't stay there. For we ourselves, we were once foolish. We were deceived, serving various lusts. Could be the lust of money. We always seem to associate lust with just sexual things. It's not just that. It could be many different things. Lust after power, lust after popularity, notoriety, you name it. Lust can come in many different forms. But it's when we look at this, it says we were deceived, serving various lusts, pleasures, living in malice, envy, hateful, and hating one another. You know, when we look at the world and we look at all the negative junk that's in the world, it's not anything new. It's not new. The devil didn't come up with a new form of hatred. He didn't come up with a new form of malice, and he didn't come up with a new form of lust. It has been there since the fall of man. And Jesus came to take us out of that curse. Aren't you glad? Now look at what the next verse says. But when the kindness and the love of our God, our Savior, toward man appeared. Jesus. Pastor Christine sang about it. Jesus. Boy. When that love, that kindness appeared, man, that'll melt even the hardest heart. Because Romans chapter 2 says, don't you know Don't you know, oh man, it's the goodness and the kindness of God that causes us to repent? There comes a point, just like the prodigal son, when he left home and squandered everything, and he was in a pig pen. And he said, hey, even the hired servants, they're eating better than me. You come to a point where you come to the end of yourself. I'm reminded of, and he's gone on to glory, but Pastor Frank Morales, who was head of the Shepherd's Flock for many years, right there in the middle of Yonkers, right in the middle of a very highly drug-trafficked area, he was the head of a rescue house for men wanting to get their lives together off of drugs. And I remember Pastor Frank, he would interview men who would, especially at wintertime, they would want to come in off the cold. They'd want to come in out of the cold, and they'd say, I want help. And he would look them dead in the eye, and he would say, are you finished? In other words, have you come to the end of yourself? Are you done? If you can't look me in the eye and tell me you're done, I can't take you in my program. If you're done, then I can help you. And see, when we get to that point with God and we say, God, I'm done. Now he can help you. Now he can help you because we've opened the door of our hearts with faith, saying, okay, God, you can help me. And we know in our story, A Christmas Carol, and regardless of which version that you see, you remember it was Jacob Marley, Scrooge's old business partner, that comes back, and some renditions have him dragging a money box because he was so enamored with money, and he was chained up, and he was bound, and he's telling Scrooge, "Don't be like this. Don't be like this." He was warning him, and you know, sometimes I think, even we as believers, sometimes we drag around, for lack of a better term, the ghosts of Christmas past, the things, the regrets that we have. Maybe the mistakes that we've made. And the enemy, the Bible tells us the enemy is the accuser of the brethren. And so, and you've heard me say it, because we've all heard these words. We've even heard people say it with their mouth. But the enemy utters these words to us many times. And you call yourself a Christian. Right? And that condemnation comes over us. But I want you to see this verse in verse 4. It says, and when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, next verse, which we have done, but according to his mercy. He saved us through the washing, the regeneration, through the renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. That is a powerful passage of Scripture. And I'm not sure why we don't often refer to this, but God's righteousness toward you, God's love toward you, will free you from all the ghosts of Christmas past. He is so kind to us. And I mentioned it last week that God's love toward us is so immense, because God loves us so much, that he doesn't want us to stay the way we are. He wants us to walk in righteousness, not out of guilt, but to walk in righteousness out of an empowered heart because of his love toward us, his kindness toward us, that we want to live right. It's not that I have to live right. I don't, you know, it's not that, oh, I've got to do this, otherwise I'm not going to go to heaven. No, it is, I want to say no to the flesh. I want to say no to that temptation. Why? Because I want to live for the one who saved me. I want to live for the one who gave his best for me. As I quoted our mentor, Dr. Horace Ward, anybody who would give you Jesus would give you anything. And that's based out of Romans chapter 8, when it says how God, he didn't just hold back, but he gave us his son. That's how much he loves us. And when we think about the ghosts of Christmas past, we think about the things, the mistakes we've made, the actions that we're ashamed of, the things that maybe only you and God know about, the thoughts that you've had, the actions that you took, the things. And the enemy comes, and sometimes he tries to, like, undermine this place of righteousness that we have in him. And you don't have to take it. You don't have to take those chains. You can be free from the ghost of Christmas past. You can be free. And it is not that hard. You don't have to go through 18,000 deliverance sessions. You don't have to get 20 devils cast out of you. You just have to accept the fact that Jesus paid the price. And the Bible says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. See, you don't have to carry around those chains of guilt and those things. You know, sometimes at Christmas, you know, whether it be office parties or when you were a teenager, you went to Christmas parties and maybe you did the wrong thing. Come on, people. Am I the only one in here that you know, all of us have a past somewhere. You don't know all my past. I don't know all your past. Thank God. Right? Because I don't hold it against you. Jesus doesn't hold it against you either.
That's right.
The mistakes you've made. You know, I remember when I was a kid. I was a kid and I was just getting excited about walking with God. You know the enemy? He will dredge up the most insignificant things in your life to undermine this love and this kindness that we have felt. And I remember I'm on fire for God. I'm reading the New Testament. I'm so excited for Jesus. Hopefully I keep getting more excited for Jesus the older I get. That's what I want. I want to be like Sister Valley. I just want to just smile and talk about Jesus. Amen. And just, I mean, just the love of God just oozes out of that woman.
Amen.
And it should ooze out of all of us, right? And it's just that acceptance and that love that just is that. But I remember I just was starting to walk with God. And you know those words, and you call yourself a Christian. Those words came up because now all of a sudden I am remembering when I am... Folks, listen to me very carefully. I'm 5 years old. And God, not God, the enemy is taking me back to when I was 5 years old. I'm on a vacation with my family. Now, when the Mitchells went on vacation, I still don't know how my parents afforded it, but they just threw us in the car and they drove us to the Smoky Mountains. And we were in Gatlinburg, North Carolina. Or excuse me, Gatlinburg, Tennessee. Get the right state, Doug. And I'm in Gatlinburg, Tennessee, and we go into this tourist shop, and there was this little postcard book about yay big. It fit in my pocket. I took it. I shoplifted. I was 5 years old. And every time I saw that book when I was a kid, I was like terrified. And I had it in my closet. I stuffed it under my bed. I'm trying to hide this thing. Finally, one day, my mom asked, she said, where did you get this? I'm like, did your sister buy it for you? And I'm like, uh-huh. Now I've lied. Okay. Now I've lied. And, of course, this is probably a year later. You know, she sees it in my closet, right? And so eventually, I remember I threw it away. Get rid of the evidence. I threw it away. But do you know that that dirty devil brings it up to me when I'm 15, 10 years later, and I'm just starting to walk with God? And he says, you're a shoplifter, a thief, and you call yourself a Christian. You know, the enemy, he doesn't play fair. He doesn't play fair. I'm reminded what Brother Keith Moore said one time. He said, you know, one time, he was looking out over a cliff, just, you know, like an area that people were like a tourist area. He's looking out, and it's a big drop off. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the enemy says, why don't you jump? And he thought, I have no reason to jump. And then he looked around. He's like, devil, you're such a liar. And he said, why don't you jump? I think we got to get that way when the enemy comes to bring those ghosts of Christmas past and say, hey, get out of here. No, 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 no. You're not. Actually, the guy that you're accusing right now, he's dead anyway, because he was dead and buried with Christ and raised to new life. And so that guy doesn't even exist anymore. And so quit reminding me of somebody who's dead. Because the Bible tells me in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I am a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And so those ghosts that try to come at you at this time of year, you know, that office party that you drank and got yourself silly drunk and you shouldn't have, and then you drove and you wondered how you even made it home safely. Am I talking? Right? It's okay. I can talk like this, right? I'm pastor. You still love me? All right? So, but here's the thing. The enemy will come and accuse you. You need to step into your righteous place. Go back to a verse that says this. But when the kindness and the love of God found you, and when the love of God found you, you might not have been in a lovable state. You might have been kind of unlovable. But it says, the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness. In other words, you can't be good enough to set yourself free. So quit trying. Take by faith. Brother Adam talked about faith. Our candle today at Advent is faith, the candle of faith. We receive what God has done for us by faith. We receive that gift of righteousness, that good gift that God gives. And the ghosts of Christmas past, they're erased. Now, what about the ghost of Christmas present? Some of us walk in difficulty in our lives. Maybe we've got difficult relationships. Maybe we've got family things going on. We might have work things going on. We might have financial things going on. Am I right? Yes. Those are, I'm going to call them the ghosts of Christmas present. Yes. Trying to get us off of the track that God wants us to be on. God wants us to be on a track that pleases Him, that we're not beat up by these things, and we're not chained, we're not bound. I believe that God wants to set His people free from those hindrances. As we walk through this Christmas season, that we would walk through free from the chains of Christmas past, free from all of the guilt and the condemnation that the enemy tries to pour on us when you're going through a difficult time, when you're going through a difficult season, and say, oh, see, you must not be doing something right because your finances are a wreck. You know that? That's the way the enemy does, doesn't he? Am I the only one who hears him that way? He comes and talks to, oh, you're not. See, that person's blessed over there. You must be doing something wrong. What are you doing wrong? Now he'll get you looking. I mean, you're just starting to, wait, what am I? Oh, I must be doing something wrong. And what happens is it undermines our trust in God. So the ghosts of Christmas present are the things that undermine our trust in God. Those stressors, those things that keep our eyes off of Jesus and onto circumstances. And what it does is it literally robs us of joy. It robs us of joy during this Christmas season because we're so concerned with all of these ghosts of the Christmas present that are seemingly haunting us, that are kind of walking, you know, you wake up in the morning and it's there. Am I talking to the right group? I think I am. I prayed and I knew God said this was for this morning. See, when we walk through these things, you're not alone. Remember Emmanuel, God with us. He's with you right now. Turn to your neighbor and say, He's with you. Say, those ghosts of Christmas present, they have no place in my life today or in the future. That brings me to my next point, the ghosts of the Christmas future. You know, the enemy is always trying to get us to not see the goodness of God, to not see what could be in the light of the positive. Remember when Mary responded, and Brother Adam read that today. Mary responded. How did she respond? She said, "Be it unto me according to what? Your word." If you want to defeat the ghosts of Christmas future, what will be? You see, fear will try to grip every one of us. Every one of us. That fear of what's going to happen next year. What's going to happen in the future. Oh, the economy is going to be bad. You know, these are things that we sometimes wrestle with. It's always trying to get us off track from what could be with God. All things are possible to him who believes. Now, it's interesting because the angel appeared. Remember, it appeared to Zechariah to tell him about the birth of John the Baptist. And Zechariah, he didn't respond the same way Mary did. He was full of doubt, full of unbelief. And because he was so full of doubt and unbelief, the angel had to shut his mouth. Why? Because there's power in our words. That's why. There's power in what we say and what we speak about in the future. The Word of God tells us in Proverbs that the power of life and death is in our tongue. So when we start speaking of the future as being terrible, there's something to that. Now, I'm not talking about being superstitious. I'm talking about, what are you speaking? Speak the word of God. What did Mary say? Mary said, "Be it unto me according to what? Your word." Not according to what she thought. We all have good thoughts. We all have good ideas and we all have plans. Oh, plans. We want to make plans and we have plans, right? But what about his plan? What about finding out what? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Thanks be to God. He always causes me to triumph in Christ Jesus. Oh, and my God will supply all my needs according to his riches in glory. Oh, what else does God say in here? He'll keep me in perfect peace when my mind is stayed on him. And so my mind has to be stayed on him if I'm going to receive all that he has for me.
Yes, that's right.
So just like our story, you know, Scrooge, by the end of these three visits of these spirits, again, I will qualify, Charles Dickens was not giving us a theological lesson.
Correct.
Okay, this was not a theological lesson. This was a moral story that he wanted to illustrate what the heartbeat of mankind and being kind at Christmas and having a benevolent heart. That was his purpose, was to teach a moral lesson. Now, my lovely Pastor Christine wife, who's an English teacher, could probably tell us even more of the nitty-gritty about Charles Dickens, because I believe that she's been taking her students through it last year and this year. But as we look at this, again, it's not a theological thing. We're not believing that we're going to come back and haunt people. That's definitely not what we believe in. We believe that the Holy Ghost can teach you. The Holy Ghost can talk to you. He can show you things to come. The Word of God is true. You can bank your life on it, and it will help walk through all of these things that seemingly haunt us during the Christmas season. The ghosts of Christmas past, you're free. You're free. The ghosts of Christmas present, you can be free from strife. You can be free from those things. You don't have to walk in them. Keep your eyes on Jesus. The ghosts of Christmas future, what if, what if, what if, what if? But I think this. I think this. I think this. Now, what does God think? Right? And so we say, Lord, be it unto me according to your word. And find out what God's word has something to say. See, in Jesus, we have him healing our past.
Yes, we do.
In Jesus, we have him helping us in our present.
Yes, amen.
And in Jesus, we have him giving us hope for our future.
Thank you, Lord.
You know, these are things that when we're looking at these scriptures, We look at verse 5. It says, he saved us through the washing of regeneration, the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Only God can do that. Only God can do that. He abundantly provided. Verse 6 says, he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. And having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. There is a hope, folks. When you're walking through Christmas this year, there is a hope that kind of springs up. Now, if you follow the story, and if you actually go back to the original text of Charles Dickens, when Scrooge wakes up, he says he feels like a schoolboy, full of hope. He feels like somebody full of anticipation, you know, full of hope. And it changes him. There's a transformation that occurs in his life. When we've accepted Christ and we keep our mind renewed by the washing of the water of the Word, then that transformation can spill out into other people, the people we come in contact with, those that might be suffering at Christmas time, those that might be less fortunate than us, that we could come and be that healing agent. So be free this Christmas. Be free from all of those things that try to bind you, those chains of the mistakes you made if you shoplifted when you were 5 years old or something along those lines. It could have been worse. It could have been far worse. But guess what? We're the ones who put degrees and categories on sin. God says sin is sin, and all have sinned, and all fall short of the glory of God. So the murderer on death row and the 5-year-old shoplifter all needed Jesus. The way my father-in-law has put it, if you're on the Titanic and it's going down, it doesn't matter if you were in the stateroom or if you were in the belly of the ship. You needed a lifeboat. It didn't matter whether you had it all together or thought you did, or whether your life was a mess without hope. A mess. We all need Jesus. Aren't you glad that you've got Jesus, the best gift of all? Amen. So, praise God. There was a quote in the book that said, he did Christmas well. He did Christmas well. I believe that all of us need to do Christmas well, so that it would be spoken of us. We're not chained by our past. We're not hindered by our present. And we're not worried about the future. But our eyes are on Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Father God, that you desire to help us in our weaknesses. God, you desire to remind us of some truths that we can be free in you. Free in you. And it's just a simple act of accepting you as our Lord and Savior, believing in our heart that Jesus came to die for our sins.
Thank you, Lord.
That he was raised from the dead.
Thank you, Lord.
And we confess, we use our words to actually speak and say, Jesus, you're my Lord. Father, I pray that those that are listening today, either online or those that are here in this place, Father, if there be anybody who does not know Jesus Christ, Father, I pray that today would be that day, that this Christmas season they would walk through free from the guilt of the past, from the hindrances of the present, or from the fear of the future. Father, I pray that your healing virtue would heal up the wounds of the past and help each person. Right now, with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're in this place today or you're watching online and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to give you an opportunity to know him. If you would like to either recommit your life to him or you'd like to be born again this morning, I want you to lift up your hand and say, that's me. I need to either recommit my life or I need to be born again. Raise up your hand if there's anybody in this place. Praise God. You might wonder why I always do that. I do that because if you when you bring visitors, when you bring friends and family, there is always an opportunity. If you're watching online, you can pray with us every week right here and find an opportunity to come to know Christ. Let's just pray this simple prayer out loud together. Say, Father God,
Father God,
I come to you in the name of Jesus. I believe in my heart that Jesus is who he said he is, that he died for my sins, that he was raised from the dead. And I call Jesus my Lord and Savior from this day forth, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time and you meant it in your heart, we'd like to know about it. You can message us on the Facebook Messenger app. We'd like to send you some things, maybe help you find a good church if you're not near Mount Kisco. And we'd like to help you in your walk with God. If you're here today and you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, we are a Spirit-filled church. We believe in the supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit. They are for the believer today to empower them, to give them the power that they need to live a life that's pleasing to God, not in some legalistic way, but in a way that says, wow, I have power to overcome those situations and those obstacles in my life. If you'd like prayer for that, we'd like to help you out with that. I'm going to avail myself down front today if you need prayer for healing, you need prayer for something. I'm just going to hang out here for a little while at down front. We'd love to pray with you, help you out, agree with you in prayer. If you're watching online and you also need that kind of ministry, please message us on the Facebook app so that we can reach out to you at an appropriate time and minister to you as well. Let's stand our feet right now. We're going to have our sending out verse. We speak this over our church in a form of a prayer and a confession at the same time. And it's right up here. And let's just say it out loud together. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Psalm 121, 7 and 8. God bless you. Thank you for watching. Thank you for coming. And we'll see.